Foul Play, a murder game played by people whose business is murder. And here to see Foul Play is your chairman, Simon Brett.
Hello, welcome to another half hour which poses the simple question, who done it? But hopes that the answer is not too simply unravelled. And to take on the challenge of the unravelling job this week, I am joined once again by two professional crime writers. Francis Fifield, who sometimes writes as Francis Hegarty, is also a practising criminal lawyer. Francis, does this experience help when you're trying to spot a wrong'un?
I think it might actually be an impediment.
I'm very glad to hear that. Francis is joined in her inquiries today by Peter Walker. He has produced an indecent number of books, including, under the pen name of Nicholas Ray, the Constable series, on which television's hugely successful Heartbeat is based. Peter is also an ex-policeman, a lawyer and a policeman together. Peter, do you think I'm making a rod for my own back here?
Well, having heard this before, Simon, I think the rod will be on our backs, not yours.
Good. That's certainly the intention. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest investigators. And once again, I'm delighted to say that all the characters in our devious plot will be interpreted by Foul Play's regular repertory company, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. Right. No more ado. Time for a crime. Guest investigators, listen hard as Maria reads us the opening to this week's mystery, Death in Intensive Care.
The body in the bed in the intensive care unit of the Royal Howard Hospital looked very small, dwarfed by the banks of machinery and monitors which surrounded her. Dr. Barbara Katzman, a professional forensic pathologist with a ferocious sense of her own identity as a woman and a complicated private life, was suffering from the potentially lethal infection caused by a bite from the Caribbean quinterino fly. The patient had been unconscious when she arrived in intensive care, and the consultant, Sir Newby Tonks, a specialist in quinterino fly infection, had put her chances of survival at zero. But after treatment by the junior doctor in charge that day, Dr. Paul Wing, also coincidentally one of her former lovers, Dr. Katzman had rallied. After the insertion of an intravenous drip containing a possible antidote to quinterino fly venom, she had regained consciousness and even started to talk coherently about feminism. That had been at 6 o'clock in the evening. A little more than an hour later at 7:15, when Sister O'Mara, the nurse on duty, had checked up on her charge, she had found that the life-saving drip had been ripped savagely out of the patient's arm and that Barbara Katzman was dead.
Well, some kind of medical malpractice going on, it seems. Francis and Peter, in the midst of all this playing doctors and nurses, there's clearly been a crime committed. I know it's early days, but has anything alerted your suspicion so far?
Nothing.
No. No is a perfectly valid answer at this point. I think we'd better find out how the official inquiries into the crime are getting along. Peter, I'm sure you've attended many police press conferences in your time, possibly even given some, but I doubt if you've been to one of the kind given by the man in charge of this case, who is Inspector Sergeant.
Thank you. I think I'd better start with the cause of Dr. Katzman's arrival in the intensive care unit. She had been in her forensics lab conducting a post-mortem on a member of a Jamaican Yardie gang. The dead man had fallen foul of a rival gang who specialised in a particularly unpleasant form of contract killing. This involves making the unfortunate victim swallow a live quinterino fly, which bites the inside of the mouth, causing a long and painful death. It is believed that when, in the course of the post-mortem, Barbara Katzman opened up the victim's abdomen, the quinterino fly, still remarkably alive, flew out and bit her on the face. She is thought to have passed out almost immediately and, had she not been discovered soon after by Dr. Paul Wing, who happened to be passing the laboratory, Dr. Katzman would probably have died before reaching intensive care in the adjacent Royal Howard Hospital. The cause of Barbara Katzman's death was undoubtedly venom from the quinterino fly. The antidote set up in the drip by Dr. Paul Wing might have saved her life, but its removal left her with no chance of survival. The last person to see Dr. Katzman alive was the consultant, Sir Newby Tonks, who dropped in to take a look at her on his way to the opera. He said she was alive then and conscious, but he did not expect her to last the night. Sister O'Mara and Dr. Paul Wing were both on duty in the intensive care unit, but were busy with another patient who'd just been brought in following a cardiac arrest. Neither saw Dr. Katzman until the sister went into her room at 7:15 and found her dead.
Thank you very much, Inspector. Well, Francis and Peter, you have a bit more information. Not enough, of course, but has what Inspector Sergeant said moved your thoughts on at all from no? where are your suspicions pointing at the moment?
Not in any particular direction. Obviously, as a police officer and an investigator, I'd want to know who was on the ward between 6 o'clock and 7:15.
So oh, really? What, you tend to get the evidence and background before you arrest people, do you?
We tend to, yes.
Yes.
It's quite a well-established procedure.
Francis?
I just got this rather alarmed curiosity at the moment. What the hell has happened to this Quinterino fly? Is it still having sort of, you know, survived passage through somebody's intestines so far, come out and bitten Dr. Katzman? Where is it? Has anyone recovered the fly?
Well, that's a very valid point. Ooh! actually, you're still a little starved of the oxygen of fact. Let's remedy that situation by hearing statements given to the police by three of the people involved in the dreadful events at the Royal Howard Hospital. And the first comes from the consultant in charge of Dr. Katzman's case, Sir Newby Tonks.
I had met Dr. Katzman before I saw her in the intensive care unit, but I didn't know her well. I'm a doctor who cures the living. I don't have much time for pathologists who only deal with the dead. But I'm sure Dr. Katzman knew me. I am a well-known figure in the medical establishment. As a student, she would undoubtedly have read my publications and probably attended my lectures. In my view, the fact that Dr. Katzman's drip was removed made no difference. She would have died anyway. Those of you who have read my article in The Lancet, Quinterino fly morbidity quotients, will know that the bite of that particular insect is invariably fatal. Dr. Paul Wing's gallant attempts to save Dr. Katzman in intensive care were always doomed to failure. Oh, like most young doctors, he sees himself as the next Alexander Fleming, but I'm sure his proposed antidote to Quinterino fly venom would have been entirely ineffectual. No, I've never married. I like things in my life to be well-ordered, and women are so bloody untidy. I have no idea whether Dr. Wing and Dr. Katzman had a relationship. It's a matter of complete indifference to me. Sister O'Mara? Oh, she's an efficient nurse. I have a professional respect for that. So many nurses these days are undisciplined. Let their emotions get the better of them. Yes, I saw Dr. Katzman at 6 o'clock on the evening she died. I was surprised to find her conscious, but I knew she wouldn't survive long. I was on my way to the opera. Parsifal, I was seeing. It's a long opera, so the performance started at 6:30. I'm a great enthusiast of Wagner. His music suits my temperament.
Thank you very much, Sir Newby. If you wouldn't mind just staying there for a moment, our guest investigators may have a few questions to ask you. Peter?
Yes, Sir Newby. The drip was removed.
It appears so, yes. Oh. It is of little consequence. She would have died anyway, whether the drip was removed or not.
Yes, what interests me, though, is how could anyone remove that?
I would say the most likely thing is that during the agonising death throes that she was thrashing about somewhat and the drip was removed that way. It could easily happen.
So she could have accidentally removed the drip herself?
In my opinion.
Could it be removed by someone, we'll say, surreptitiously?
Well, it would depend if somebody else was in the room, wouldn't it, really?
Well, I don't know whether these drips are linked to any other device.
I don't think in this place there was an alarm affixed to the drip, no.
Mm-hmm. I see, thank you. The antidote you mentioned that Dr. Wing was working on.
Yes.
Have you any experience of this personally or not?
I have no experience of it because it doesn't exist. This is not an antidote. This is a figment of Dr. Wing's imagination.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Francis?
The length of time for this Quinterino fly death, does that vary?
It does vary enormously according to the metabolism of the victim and indeed their age and health. It is normal for a person not to survive much longer than 3-4 hours.
So Dr. Katzman was doing rather well, wasn't she, on Dr. Wing's antidote?
She was doing about average for a Quinterino fly victim, I would say.
And one last question. You spoke to her. You were perhaps surprised to find that she could speak. What did she say to you?
I didn't actually speak to her. I just looked in and saw that she was awake. I didn't want to speak to her and she was alive. I didn't want to speak to her just because she was dying.
Thank you very much, Sir Newby.
You
have charmed us all. Better get back to your private patients. We will Now hear our second statement, which comes from the nurse who was in charge of the intensive care unit at the time of the death, Sister O'Mara.
Oh, sure, it's a terrible thing, isn't it, when someone dies, but particularly someone with such a great talent as Barbara Katzman. You know, I see a lot of death in the course of my work, but it's always a shock to me. No, I didn't know her well. Not much call for nurses in pathology, but I had met Barbara, yes. I seen her in the pub with Dr. Wing. Yes, I think there had been something going on between Dr. Wing and Barbara Katzman, yes. Well, they're so both attractive young people, would you not say? I mean, she a bit the older, but that doesn't seem to matter these days. I don't know how serious it was, but given the hours Dr. Wing has to work, I can't imagine he has much time for romance. Myself? No, sure, I've never married. I get so involved in my work that it might be difficult to include anyone else in my life. Of course, there were infatuations and things when I was a student nurse, but there's been nothing of that sort for many a year now. Well, I'm 56, if you must know. Sir Newby Tonks, he's a fine doctor, wouldn't you say? A great expert in his field. Tropical insect infection, yes. Not an easy man, no, I agree, but maybe that's because he's so dedicated to his work. Oh, the night Barbara Katzman died, Dr. Wing and I were busy with this cardiac emergency. I shouldn't have left her alone so long, but we're so short-staffed, as usual. No, Dr. Wing and I weren't together every minute. I had to go and organise equipment for the cardiac arrest. But we were together, yes, most of the time. Ah, oh, it's all very sad, to be sure, but the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, doesn't he?
He does indeed. Thank you very much, sister. What an angel of mercy you are. I'm sure our guest investigators have the odd question to put to you. Peter, maybe you'd like to start.
You told us that you left Dr. Katzman alone.
That's right, yes.
Yes. Could anyone gain access to Dr. Katzman's bed then without anyone else knowing
about it? That would be right, sir, yes. You could just pop in and out if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. So how long was she alone?
I think that was from about 6 o'clock to... I went back in again at about 7:15. Yes, that's right.
Yes, thank you very much indeed.
Frances?
When you last saw Dr. Katzman, how did she seem at that point?
She was rallying a little, you know. Sir Newby seems to think that that's what happens, you know. The patient quite often looks like they're getting better, you know, and then they pop back into a coma and then they die.
We've heard Tonk's opinion about Dr. Wing's antidote to the quinterina fly. Did you have any belief in the research in this area that Dr. Wing was doing?
I don't think there was an antidote. I know Dr. Wing was quite keen, you know, but because I think he loved the lady, he didn't want her to die. So, for sure, I think he'd have put up a sugar drip, you know, if he thought it would have worked for her.
Where was Dr. Wing between 6 and 7:15?
He was with me with the cardiac arrest.
The cardiac arrest.
That's right, yes.
Mm. And what's exactly your relationship to Sir Newby Tonks? You've obviously got admiration for him.
I think he's a fine man and a fine surgeon.
And we'll now move on to our third statement, which was given to the police by the junior doctor whose duties included the intensive care unit on the night of Dr. Katzman's death, Dr. Paul Wing.
Well, Raya, I have been having a relationship with Barbara Katzman. Let's get out of the way before we start, shall we? On the day she died, she had told me she wanted to stop seeing me, but it doesn't mean I murdered her. Listen, I'm a doctor, and my job is to extend life, not to shorten it. That's why I'm so furious about Barbara's death. I'm sure the treatment I was given her would have saved her life. And whoever removed that drip from her arm was, well, apart from anything else, sabotaging an important medical experiment. I was testing something I'd found out in my private researches. As you probably know, trichlorine barbiturophenol is the standard treatment for verrucas. But I had found, when I prescribed it to a patient who was also suffering from a Guatemalan fruit fly bite, that it brought about a marked reduction of the toxicity levels in the blood. Now, as I'm sure you know, the toxins carried by the Guatemalan fruit fly are in the same group as those of the quinterino fly. So, I thought it was worth trying on Barbara. I set up a saline drip with 10-to-1 concentration of trichlorine barbiturophenol. And it was definitely curing her. Yeah, I know the views of Sir Newby Tonks. He's a very fine doctor, but rather set in his ways. He's done a lot of research on the quinterino fly, and yes, he has had a colony of the flies bred in his laboratory. I've studied them there. Oh, I was busy with the cardiac patient, as Sister O'Mara said. No, we weren't together all the time. I just wish to God I'd gone to check on Barbara during that period. If I had, she might still be alive.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wing. If you could just keep awake for a moment or two more, our guest investigators will probably have a few follow-up questions. Francis.
This solution that you're using, is there anything in that particular solution which would cause a contra effect in the patient, an irritation, for instance?
Well, no, like I say, it's common usage for verrucas. I mean, you know, if you can put it on people's feet for verrucas, it's pretty safe. It's been very commonly used. That was what's so amazing.
I don't think Mr. Tonks, the surgeon, was very keen on your research, was he?
Well, you know, it's a newbie. He's been around a long time. I mean, really, he's a medical dinosaur.
Peter, maybe you'd like to chip in.
I'm interested in the antidote that you think you have created. If I have a jab of flu...
Yeah.
To prevent me having further flu in the year, then, of course, I'm injected, am I not, with the flu virus.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering whether your antidote here could, in fact, be confused with the real venom.
The quinterino fly, you can't use the venom to immunise the victim, you see. It just doesn't work. That's why newbie Tonks is so convinced that there's no cure going to be found.
But, you mentioned that you were, in fact, the lover of Dr. Katzman.
Yeah, yeah.
How distraught were you when she wanted to end the affair?
Oh, cut up. I was really cut up. But I respected her feelings, and she's a very independent woman. In fact, I did ask her to marry me, but she said no.
In spite of her rejecting you, you would still wish to save her life?
Oh, yeah. I still harboured hopes, you know, that maybe if I could save her life, I could talk around or something, and maybe sometime in the future we could be together.
Thank you very much. Peter and Francis, after those three statements, you do have a few more facts. Where do they leave the current state of your thinking about the murder?
Well, I have a suspect now who has emerged, but I want to keep it close to my chest at the moment, I'm afraid.
Oh, do you do that in the police too?
You would do indeed, yes.
What?
I need to gather evidence, you see.
Really?
Of my suspicions.
You don't point the finger on the way?
Not
you
yet.
You don't talk about work in progress?
Not yet, no.
Oh, right.
Oh, no.
How about lawyers? What do they do, Francis?
Well, we sort of thrash around and get things wrong probably equally often. Now, my thoughts are moving towards Sir Newby Tonks, because being a good lawyer, I'm totally objective about these things, and I really just don't like the look of Sir Newby at all. So on that basis, I'm suspecting him.
I think there's a lot to be said for sheer blind prejudice. Anyway, what happens now is that... I'm sorry. Dr. Wing has left his bleeper here. It's just gone off, and there's a message on it which says, please call Inspector Sergeant. Good heavens, maybe some new evidence has been discovered. Let's go straight over to Inspector Sergeant and find out.
Thank you. We have had two interesting developments in the case. The first is information given in an interview with Miss Rona Gravel, who works as an assistant in Sir Newby Tonks' laboratory.
Oh, hello. Obviously, I don't know as much about the quinterino fly as Sir Newby does, but I do look after the ones in the lab. And I understand their little ways pretty well, yes. Oh, it's just possible, but I must say I do find it very unlikely that a quinterino fly would survive alive after it had bitten a victim inside his mouth. Its bite causes massive swelling of the tissues, which would probably crush the fly. Another interesting thing is that one of our quinterino flies is missing. Oh, yes, I count them every evening before I leave. Last week, I found that there was one absentee. Last Tuesday, the latest brood hatched, and we were up to 527 flies. But on Wednesday evening, when I counted, there were only 526. Yes, a fully-fledged adult was missing. Who could have taken it? Well, I suppose I could have done so myself, except that I wouldn't have done. Nor would Sir Newby. No, who else comes to the lab? Sister O'Mara sometimes comes in with Sir Newby's library books. She changes them for him. And then, of course, there's young Dr. Wing. He's been doing some research in there. Well, I was very sorry to see the fly missing. A particular favourite she was. I called her Vera.
The other new piece of information came from Sir Julian Terrington, the opera buff. I saw the Parsifal on Wednesday night. Dreadfully gimmicky production. But no, I didn't see Sir Newby Tonks there.
Well, well. That's an unexpected turn of events, isn't it? Peter and Francis, I'm sure this must have changed your views on the case and left you desperate to put some follow-up questions to our witnesses. You now have the opportunity to do just that. You may each put one further question to each of the people we heard from before. Who would you like to call first?
Tonks.
Sir Newby.
Yes.
Sir Newby, you keep the quinterino fly in your laboratory and have a member of staff to look after those experimental beasties.
Mm-hmm.
What precautions do you take to ensure the safekeeping of that member of staff?
Well, you see, all the flies are kept in the patent Tonks box. A very clever little box. It's a perspex thing, you see. So double doors at either end, and it can be divided so the flies can be counted to make sure that they're all still there. And the Tonks box is very, very safe indeed.
If a fly did escape, Sir Newby, where would it go?
It would probably seek rotting flesh. That is what they feed on.
So it's quite likely it might go down to the mortuary then?
It might do, yes, although this got to go in a lift down four floors, down a corridor, and across the car park.
Thank you very much indeed.
Who would you like to call now?
Yep. Dr. Wing.
Dr. Wing, then, we think.
Yeah, all right.
Dr. Wing, you found the deceased.
Yeah, I think it was Sister O'Mara.
What did she do? Did she call you?
Yeah.
What did you do then when you arrived?
I cried.
Did you?
There's nothing I could do. She was gone.
Francis.
Had you had cause to be in Dr. Katzman's pathology lab during the course of the day before this tragic death?
Yeah, I had been in there briefly, yeah. That was when, well, she told me that she wanted to, you know, finish our relationship. We had a thorough and intellectual and emotional discussion about it, and then I left.
And would you like to talk again to Sister O'Mara? Francis, do you have a question?
I just want to ask you about Dr. Wing and his demeanour during the course of this day. Can you tell us anything about his mood during that day?
I know he was very tired, but then a lot of the housemen are tired, you know. Myself as well, you know. But I have the lard to keep me going.
Bless you. Peter?
Dr. Wing and Dr. Katzman were lovers.
That's right.
We know that, don't we? You were aware of that?
I was aware, yes. That's right, I was.
Was the entire hospital staff aware of it?
I think it was an open secret, you know. We don't like to make public those kind of things, you know. It's not casualty. But, you know, they got on with the jobs. It didn't interfere with the jobs.
And I'm afraid that's all the time you get. Francis and Peter, your investigation is now at an end, and armed with the paltry amount of information you may have gleaned, you must give me the answer to the great whodunit question. Who do you believe to have been responsible for the callous murder of Barbara Katzman, and indeed why? Francis first?
I've changed my mind from the absolutely awful Sir Newby Tonks, and I'm going towards Dr. Wing, because I think he's a bit too good to be true, really, one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he was in Dr. Katzman's laboratory, having this, well, intense emotional conversation. We know what those are like. He is the only one who's got access to the Quinterino fly in Sir Newby Tonks' lab. I think he could have taken it to Dr. Katzman's lab with him, just in case, in anticipation of a rejection. That gives him the chance to polish her off, because she's had the temerity to reject him, and also gives him the chance to be a tremendous hero battling against old Sir Newby Tonks' old-fashioned ways by introducing this new antidote. But it's not in his interest at the end of the day that the antidote should work. Sir Newby Tonks might have been right. So I think he makes with the Quinterino fly and then removes the drip.
Thank you very much. Peter?
Well, I think it's Sir Newby Tonks, actually. I think the fly bite was not deliberate. I think that was an accident. But I think that once that the casualty was in hospital, and obviously with no hope of survival, Sir Newby Tonks wanted to go off to the opera, which in fact we know he didn't go there, but nonetheless he wanted to go out, and he wanted to leave a tidy place behind him. So it was quite a simple matter to pull out the drip with no one seeing him at all. At 6 o'clock, we know that the other two suspects, Dr. Paul Wing and Sister O'Mara, were together from 6 o'clock until 7:15. So they, if you like, alibi one another. Sir Newby Tonks has no alibi. He didn't go to the opera, we know. I don't think he believed in Dr. Wing's antidote at all. If the antidote was successful, I don't think Sir Newby Tonks would want it to be successful.
Well, thank you. Very cogent and intelligent solutions, as I would have expected from a trained policeman and lawyer. But are those solutions right? We're about to find out as Lee and Maria waft us on the wings of imagination in this week's Foul Play, Foul Playlet to the forensic laboratory where Barbara Katzman was conducting her post-mortem on that fateful day.
Oh, hello, Barbara.
Paul.
I need to talk to you. I've got your note.
I'm sorry, Paul. It had to end.
Why?
You were getting too possessive. I need my space. You were threatening my identity as a woman.
Barbara, if I can't have you, I'm not going to let anyone else...
Excuse me, I must cut open his abdomen. Ah, there we are. Oh, good heavens, what's that?
It's a quinterino fly. It was caught inside his body. Watch out, it doesn't...
Ah, it's bitten me.
Oh, don't worry, my love.
Oh,
I'll get you to intensive care. You're going to survive this, Barbara.
Sure, that's got her settled, but I wouldn't say she was looking so good, Dr. Wing.
Don't worry. I can save her.
Doctor, are you trying to play God?
Why'd you ask that?
Because you're not allowed to have a medical drama in which a doctor isn't asked if he's trying to play God.
Oh, right. Sister, I want this drip attached into the patient's arm.
Wait, what is it?
It's a saline drip with a 10-to-1 concentration of trichlorine barbiturophenol.
Well, that's never going to save her life.
No. That's never going to save her life, you young idiot wing. No one survives the bite of the quinterino fly.
And no one has survived yet, Sir Newby. This'll work.
There's not a snowball's chance in hell it'll work, wing. Now go on, get out and let me have a look at my patient.
But Dr. Tonks, I...
Get out!
Will you be needing me, Doctor?
No, you go to, Pauline, and keep an eye on young Dr. Kildare.
Yes, Doctor.
Well, bad luck, Dr. Katzman. Curtains for you, I'm afraid. You see, no one survives the bite of the quinterino fly. Cheerio. I'm going off to see Parsifal.
Where am I? What's going on? Paul, where am I? What's
Barbara,
happening?
Barbara, my love, I knew you'd pull through. I knew it would work. And now we can get back together again.
Paul, I'm not so sure about that.
Aren't you grateful that I've cured you?
Yes, but I don't believe that gratitude for medical expertise should be used as a bargaining counter in any sexual transaction.
Oh, don't you?
Dr. Wing, cardiac emergency.
All right, we'll have to do a GKH, give him an EPI with 2 mil of KTW. Call a crash RBJ team. Stat!
Sure, he loves you, you know that, Dr. Wing. Love? What do you know about love? Oh, I know everything about love, Dr. Katzman. I know as much as a woman can, who's been in love with the same man for 38 years. What? Who? Newby Tonks. I've loved him since I was a student nurse, even though he's never even noticed me. Sure, Newby is a wonderful man. He's the world expert on the quinterino fly, whose bite, according to Sir Newby Tonks, is invariably fatal. So... if you think I'm going to see his academic reputation ruined by your recovery, you've got another thing coming, my girl. I'll just be taking that out. Oh, please, let my drip. Sure, you know, it's not just doctors who can play God. God bless you.
So that's what really happened. Another argument for giving more funding to the NHS, I'd say. Well, Peter and Francis, I think both 100% wrong. But, I mean, totally cogent reasoning, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, we argued, even before we came on, you see, we said that there were three suspects and that we'd get the two wrong ones anyway.
Well, that was a very accurate prediction. That's it for this foul play. My thanks go to our panel of expert medical staff, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. To our equally expert guest investigators, Francis Fifield and Peter Walker.
Foul Play was devised and written by the chairman, Simon Brett. The producer was Liz Anstey.